I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now, and I've got two words for you, fiscal cliff. That was pretty much the message today from Fed Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke to members of the Joint Economic Committee in Congress as he addressed concerns about the economy. The fiscal cliff consists of both the huge government spending cuts that will automatically kick in at the beginning of next year and the Bush-era tax breaks that will lapse at about the same time unless Congress acts. Here's Bernanke speaking today.
What is particularly striking here is that this is all pre-programmed. If you all go on vacation, it's still going to happen.
Let's get a review of the chair's appearance today. Robin Farzad of Bloomberg Businessweek joins us. Robin, lawmakers wanted to hear what the Fed thought of the economy. It looks like the chair just kicked it right back to them.
It's always so fascinating to watch these things, even going back into the Greenspan era, because the comments are largely prepared. The lawmakers are... You know, they get their minutes at the mic and they want to say something that throws me to a certain constituency. And Mr. Bernanke has to seem unfazed, has to stick to his comments, has to make sure that every adverb and adjective is picked very wisely because trillions of dollars of market value can move just if he slips up.
Well, let's listen to some of that, shall we? South Carolina Republican Senator Jim DeMint had some of the harshest criticism. He said some of the steps the Fed has taken to keep interest rates down haven't worked, and that the Fed, you know, he kind of suggested that the Fed was keeping interest rates low so that the interest on the federal deficit would stay low and that would encourage more spending, you know, if there wasn't a lot of interest on it. Bernanke responded, no, we're not doing that. We're keeping interest rates low to help businesses and encourage lending. And then Bernanke said, even if we raise interest rates, it would only increase the deficit by $100 billion a year. And here's how DeMint reacted.
If it would be $100 billion a year, we're talking about a trillion over 10 years. I mean, we are talking real money.
Trillion there, trillion here. yes, sir. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that the deficits are so large, irrespective of the level of interest rates, that I would think that Congress would have plenty of motivation to try to address that.
That's what qualified as the light moment, the entertaining moment in the hearing today. But, you know, again, kicking it back to Congress.
Yeah, and of course, this is a policy that is not just a one-prong policy. Congress and the White House can control fiscal policy, and the Fed has been doing all it can to control monetary policy. We've been seeing record amounts of monetary stimulus, interest rates at emergency rates since December of 2008, $2.3 trillion, the Fed just conjuring that money out of thin air to buy bonds and keep rates down. But I don't think that is the explicit purpose. What the Fed is trying to do is get the economy running again. And a great, almost paradoxical side benefit is that as we become more profligate in our spending and the debt goes up and the deficit goes up, interest rates are actually falling as a combination of what the Fed is doing and the fact that people are scared and want to park their money in bonds.
Well, what are the chances of Congress doing anything when intra-party there are, you know, little kerfuffles? Bill Clinton, one of President Obama's most important campaign surrogates, went off message recently. He supported extending the Bush tax cuts this week, all the Bush tax cuts, even for the wealthy. He's since backed off that, issuing a statement saying he doesn't support them for the wealthiest Americans. Of course, President Obama doesn't. But, you know, if you have sort of a back and forth, you know, within the parties, how is it possible that Congress is going to agree?
There's obviously dissonance in a split Washington, D.C., but what I think is especially instructive about that exchange is that back in the day when Alan Greenspan, at least, was looked at as the omnipotent economic voice in D.C., if he said something on the Hill, then it would really jolt the parties into action together. If you recall, he gave Bill Clinton in his first term really the green light to go ahead with balancing the budget, which then set the stage for several years of prosperity. Mr. Bernanke essentially tells both sides of the aisle today that, listen, we have this fiscal cliff that's approaching, and you guys better get your act together or else people are going to wake up from vacation and there's a whole new threat for a weak economy. That alone is not going to jolt these congressmen into action, especially in an election year when neither party wants to give the other one any chance to shine.
Well, there's that. Then lawmakers also wanted to know today about the impact of the European debt crisis. You know, were there questions about whether or not, or even how much the U.S. is going to get involved and prop up Europe?
what can the United States do? The Federal Reserve is being asked to prop up the United States, which, after all, we're coming off a really underwhelming jobs report last week, and $2.3 trillion of stimulus in two rounds of quantitative easing. They're asking him for a third round of quantitative easing. There's really no money to throw across the pond.
I'm going to jump in just for a second. That quantitative easing thing, that's when you mentioned this, the Fed buys up bonds, you know, in an attempt to lower long-term interest rates.
Yeah, it's wonderful euphemism. It's the Fed exactly printing money, conjuring money to buy bonds and be a huge buyer of size to keep interest rates down across the board, to keep enticing mortgage takers and the like. And this is something that the entire economy has taken for granted for almost 4 years, is record low interest rates. It hasn't helped so far. The question is, if you promise several years more of this and the Fed comes out with another round of it, would people finally cry uncle and go out and spend that money?
Okay, well, and we have to jump in and say we know the Fed does not print money. The Treasury does. So we just stave off all the emails that we always get about that. Bernanke said the Fed would be meeting in 11 days. Decisions would be made then. Maybe some more of this quantitative easing. Robin, maybe we will check back in with you then. Robin Farzad of Bloomberg Businessweek, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.